Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Marvin Smith, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Well, it's almost afternoon, but it's still morning technically, 11 o'clock. I'm your host today, Marvin Smith, and our other host, Alan Cardoza, will not be with us today. And as listeners, as you may well know at this point, that Alan, he's periodically, he's been working on some films, and he's in and out of the, as we call it, on the set, working on some featured films. So he will not be with us today, but as we always say, the show must go on, and we have a great guest with us today. I would say it's a topic matter that, on one hand, it's not the most glamorous, but on the other hand, it's the reality of life. And this is what this show is all about. It's about bringing you topics that, as we say, answers for the family. And we always want to be here. We want to bring subject matters that will answer, give answers, help families continue to progress and move forward in the 21st century. You know, as we'd say, welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. Each week, this show will bring you guests that will inspire. I think our guest today is going to inspire us, educate. He's definitely going to educate us. And in some cases, I think he's going to even entertain us with this subject matter while bringing answers and options to raising children today in our constantly changing future. We will address issues on this show such as locating runaway teens, crisis family intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addiction, education in the 21st century, and so much more. With each of us, as Alan and myself, having over 30 years of experience working with family in crisis, we've been very fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields, and authors sharing valuable stories and helpful information who are working to keep your family and mine mentally, physically, and spiritually sound. As we continue to bring you some of these most incredible, talented, and caring people each week, as we bring you, once again, Answers for the Family. You know, since last week, we had a really great show last week, and it was very informative. And, you know, as the week progresses, just like anything else, time continues, people moves. And the only commodity that I believe that is so precious that we have no control over is called time. You know, think about it. We're allotted as human beings so much time. And the question remains, what are you doing with your time that may impact another person's life for the good? You know, I think of myself, and I have had an opportunity to do some very incredible things in my life, you know, play professional sports, corporate America. You know, now I'm involved in public education on the reform side. You know, but it's, for me, it's that being at a point in life where being able to do things that, I guess, at the end of the day, it has impact. And our guest today, I would definitely say, is another pioneer in that arena of just, you know, having a profession, having a career, but even thinking outside the box, that he can create something that can help families, and especially where there are siblings, where there's kids that are associated within that family. So, share a little bit about our guest. Our guest today, he is a trained divorce mediator who has amicably resolved many cases out of court. He is the founder of California Divorce Mediators, which is back in 2012, with the belief that although not every marriage can be saved, every family can. And a mission to save families from financial and emotional distress associated with traditional divorce litigation. California Divorce Mediators is located in Irvine, California, and serves Orange County area and other surrounding communities in California, offering divorce mediation, child custody, mediation, and mediation of families with law matters. Now, that's one side of the hat. Professionally, our guest, Jerry?
Yes.
Say the last name again.
Maggio.
Maggio. There we go. Like Maggio. Wouldn't that be like the baseball player, Maggio?
Close. Joe DiMaggio.
DiMaggio. Okay. I didn't play baseball, so. Maggio. Our guest today, Jerry Maggio, is he has been a practicing divorce and family lawyer in Southern California for over 20 years. He works closely with individuals and families to reach solutions to their problems and assist them in a multitude of capacities. Mr. Maggio is active in the professional community and as a member of the California Bar and the Orange County Bar Association, part of the Irvine Chamber of Commerce and the American Bar Association. So by sharing that information, I would think that this individual might know a little something about the subject matter called divorce. And in our society, divorce is not a pretty subject. It's really not. I mean, you hear all the ugly stories that's associated with it, you know, families being torn apart, kids being in the middle of the pond in this ugly game of divorce, and then, you know, siblings hating their parents or one or the other till they get of age, and then they figure out things were being hidden from them as far as information, and it's not always a pretty subject. The majority of time, it's not. So I'd like our guest today, Jerry, to maybe he can shine some light on a subject matter. And I guess my first question for our guest would be, let me think, what would be something that we would, I'll tell you what, let's go here. Jerry, you know, what is your current view of divorce law in the United States? I mean, we're talking about divorce. I just said it's an ugly game. It's very polarizing. And, you know, share something with us that's on this,
sure. Well,
on this Monday.
Exactly. A rainy Monday at that.
Yes.
Well, I thank you, Marvin, for having me on the show. I've been looking forward to being on it and sharing kind of what my kind of views and, you know, input that I can offer to your listeners. So I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show today.
Well, thank you. And we're, you know, like I said, we always want to bring, you know, individuals who are informative that can inspire, entertain, you know, and educate our listeners. And I mean, I just looking at the background of my research, you are definitely that individual. And so we are, we're glad to have you on the show. And I know that you're going to shine some on this rainy Monday, that you're going to shine some light on this and make it sunny for us on this Monday, by the time we finish about noontime.
Well, I will certainly give my shot at that. I appreciate it, Marvin.
All right, thank you.
Marvin, I think you were asking me what I think is my current view of divorce law in the United States. So
yes.
I'd be definitely happy to answer that. You know, I've been practicing divorce and family law for 15, 20 years at this point. So I think probably seen it at all. You know, my view at this point, having done this for a while at this point, is that the court system is very overwhelmed with litigants and not enough judicial officers. Most courts don't have enough judges to deal with the amount of cases in the court system. So what that essentially does is make the whole court process lengthy, and trials can last over several days, spread out over months or even years. It's not uncommon. I've had a number of cases where I've started, let's say, in January of a year, and then we get a date here, we get a date there. By the end of the trial, we've gone through the whole year on a case that would have been much better if we could have to have resolved it much sooner, because everybody's life is on limbo at that
right.
point.
Right, and Jerry, and when you say that, what it makes me think about, you know, the stress. I mean, you know, it's you're going through this, and it's if there's kids are involved. I mean, the longer you're in this process, emotionally, the stress factor, it's you know, I can just only see that side of it, which is not good.
Absolutely. It's very stressful. And when you're going through the system anyways in terms of you're litigating your case, that alone is stressful. But when you've got a situation where they get the hearings and trials get spread out over a long period of time, you're done for a day of trial, and then you have to come back a month or two later. You have to ramp up for that. That takes a lot of emotional and psychological preparation for it. That makes it that much worse, and it also makes it much worse for your kids.
Wow.
Bottom line.
Yes. I can say I'm just sitting here as you're sharing that, and I'm going, you know, and just the aspects of just pertaining, just dealing with life, period, and then to have some type of normality or try to create some normality through the process. That's why I always hear the thing, this subject matter. Sometimes we hear people go bonkers. It's just too much stress. Well, what do you dislike most about how some divorce attorneys handle cases? You know, if we're understanding the time concept, putting these things in perspective, I mean, what, you know, within the system, what do you dislike? I mean,
The way I look at things at this point with the divorce process is that I think the process has become somewhat of a situation where some attorneys, substantially drive up legal costs and damage family relations in the process, and those family relations don't always heal. When you're going through litigation in court, my view, no one really wins in that process except maybe the attorneys, because quite honestly, if you win an ugly battle in court one day, that likely has only empowered your spouse to spend more money to bring you back to court another day for retaliation or whatever else that they're looking to do in that regard. There are a lot of many qualified and highly competent divorce attorneys, but some, quite honestly, are not concerned about reaching a reasonable resolution of the cases without clients incurring a lot of fees. They kind of act as if, their clients have unlimited funds to pay for legal fees, and then the average divorcing party doesn't have unlimited funds.
Right.
So when, a client then runs out of money to pay for legal fees, they get dropped as a client, and then they're left to try to finalize their issues in their case and their divorce on their own. I have a case now just comes to mind where, both parties had two large divorce law firms representing them starting about 6 years ago. By about 2012, they both kind of ran out of money and both went into representing themselves for the last 3 years, and nothing really got done. So now we're trying to kind of pick up the pieces and try to get the case resolved now without, the party spending a lot of money. So, that's the kind of thing I don't, I'm kind of frustrated about in terms of how some, attorneys handle their cases. A vast majority of them, I would say, do make efforts to try to get things resolved. But, I have an issue with some that I think, in the process, make issues in cases that aren't necessarily there. They just cause more litigation to be to happen.
Wow, it's just as I'm listening, Jerry. I have to chuckle, but it's not funny. I mean, in some of the circles, we have these issues that the old saying is like in business, or I said, hey, if you want to get this thing resolved, if you want to move forward, don't bring the attorneys in. Because this can be a stalemate for the next, may not ever get resolved, which is really a sad, that's really sad. And that's kind of, a sad scenario to think that way, because, when we think about legalities, when we think about attorneys, when we think about divorce, the purpose is to come in and to resolve the issues as fast as can, so people or entities can go on about life without having this scenario hanging or looming, hindering their steps forward.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
I definitely think that the problem with divorce cases nowadays is that they become too complicated, they get over litigated, and you know, parties just have to spend way too much money in legal fees when if they really could, you know, agree to work things out amicably.
Yes.
Divorce mediation, which is kind of a newer concept, really is the way to go, and it's something
right.
I strongly believe in, because it's a way to, you know, like I say, you know, not every marriage can be saved, but every family can, and I'll kind of go into that to kind of explain what that means. But
okay.
it's something I really, you know, believe in that regard, because, you know, the divorce cases, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm a divorce and family law attorney too, as well as a divorce mediator. So, you know, I do both, but I certainly have a strong belief in the divorce mediation process in light of my experience of, you know, how
right.
these cases go. And I think you'll see that more and more in terms of how cases will probably go that route. You know, 10, 15 years ago, nobody heard of divorce mediation. It wasn't really a concept at all.
Right.
It's just that I think the practicality of this day and age, the way the court system is just too impacted with too many cases, and you know, it got too costly. It's a practical way to kind of get your case resolved.
Right, right. You know, I like to think too. I mean, I'm ordained minister as well, and you know, I always chuckle this and say, you know, I'm licensed to marry and bury, and sometimes marriages are dead before they start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think going back to the notion that you were just saying that, you know, mediation is the way to go. I think we should try to save every family. I mean, I think that's the core of the strength of, as America, as who we are, what built this country. And as we're moving forward, we're just seeing it's so much easier. It's a, hey, if it doesn't work, get out of it. It's not about trying to work it out, figure it out, do what's right. And, you know, when I look at scenarios, when I look at, you know, our society today, when I look at that aspect of it, you start to wonder, you know, where are we going? So mediation, I would have to say, is definitely, I think, a first route, you know. But then again, there may be some scenarios, and as a divorce attorney, you would know that I think some marriages, maybe they were never supposed to get married in the first place. And no matter what you do, they can never be resolved, because there
right.
was just, they got married for all the wrong reasons. You know, so I could see that side of it as well. Now, my other
right.
question would be, going back in the beginning of the show, as we were sharing about the current divorce system in the United States, if you had the ability, I mean, just going to talk hypothetically here, and you had the magic wand, and you could, like, you know, say, poof, change the system, you know, or add to the system, what would you do, I'm going to use the term innovatively, that to make it not so exacerbating as it is today?
You know, that's a really good question, Marvin, and I'm glad you actually brought that up. You know, a big part of the court system is that the court system, quite honestly, doesn't do the best in educating divorcing parties on how to deal with the emotional aspects of divorce. And because of that, then you oftentimes have a lot of spouses get caught up in the emotion and tension of divorce, which then in turn kind of heats up the litigation on the case. What I think would be, you know, a fundamental change, and I think would help, is more kind of court-ordered mediation of some sort would certainly be a great kind of change. You know, when parties file for temporary orders for, like, custody and so on in court, they are required to go to mediation in California at the courthouse beforehand to see if things can be worked out. But if that system could be expanded out for basically the whole case, at some point they have a constructive mandatory settlement conference where you have other professionals like attorneys and so on that either volunteer you know, their time to help, you know, parties before the cases really go into extensive litigation. That, I think, would help tremendously, because part of the problem is none of that is happening, and so cases go a long way in litigation before they get to trial. And then you get to trial, and sometimes you realize, well, maybe the parties could have resolved it much sooner. You know, the part of the problem with all that is there's a bit of a lack of funding in
okay.
you know, California. That can cause a problem, but there, I think there would be if there were more attorneys, if there was a system created where more attorneys could even volunteer their time on occasion to do that kind of stuff, I think that would be very helpful to getting cases resolved and out of the system, which would help everyone. It would help the parties, it would help the courts, and so on. That's where I think, if possible, that would be the best change that I could see happening.
Okay. So now my next question is, that sounds really great. So are you making any attempts, approaches to see that some laws change in the U.S. here that we can try to make this happen?
Well, I know there's individuals that are trying to work on that. You know, there's a slow wave kind of happening, I think, at this point with the idea of either divorce mediation, or there's another thing called collaborative divorces, a little more complicated system than mediation. But you have a lot more people that are looking to do divorce mediations and so on. And so that's kind of where things are kind of changing. And the courts recognize they're doing, I think, the best that they can. Part of the problem is the, again, the kind of the lack of, you know, California's got their own budget issues, and so it makes it difficult on some things for some of this, these kind of programs to get done. But there are things in the works. I know that there are individuals that are you know, putting that into play, and hopefully that'll get funded and take off, because it certainly would help everyone.
That's good. So I think, you know, as you just shared, one thing, when we have guests on the show, I like to tune in and hear what they're saying, and then really hear even beyond what's being stated, and be able to kind of reflect and give my thoughts and input. And on that notion, what I'm thinking about at this moment, what you just shared, you sound like an individual who, You're not just in for it for the money. You really are involved for the love of the profession, and, you know, looking at mediation, trying to resolve these cases. I mean, standpoint that families can be amicable and live forward for the best interest of kids. So let me ask you this question then. Has there been a case that you've been on that you won, and that you're still bothered by it, that you're upset from it? Because otherwise, it's not like you are a person who cares, but then at the end of the day, when you go into this situation scenario, you're, as an attorney, you're in it to win it. I mean, that's the other side of it.
Right. You know, I agree with you. I mean, that's the attorney's job, is generally to win. But, you know, even when you win, sometimes you... Like, well, I guess we're talking more me. I can still be bothered by the fact, even though I won, you know, in some ways, I get upset because parties maybe spent more than they had to on a case if they only would have come to the table sooner. You know, I actually have, now you brought that up, I have a couple cases that I jumped to mind that I think kind of are real life scenarios that I think would kind of illustrate what I'm talking about.
That's good.
You know, I represented someone in a case, not a whole lot of money there. You know, my client was a gardener, a gardening business. The other party was a house cleaner with a sixth grade education. So, I mean, these are, you know, average people.
I call them hardworking Americans.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Because the other spouse didn't really want to settle out of court, you know, quite honestly, both parties spent tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees, which was paid for by other family in proceeds from the sale of their home, which was money that, you know, neither one of them really could afford. And that took money away from what could have been used for the sake of the party's children. And they had, you know, three children, and as well as their own retirement. I mean, if you're funding, you know, extensive litigation and divorce case, where is that money coming from? At some point, you're going to be borrowing it, or you're going to pull it out of your retirement, or it's money you could have been putting into retirement and you're not able to. So, you know, in this case, those were, you know, well-to-do people, and had they been able to get it mediated, they would have saved a lot more money. And for those folks in particular, You know, they just simply would have had more money for things like putting their kids through college or what have you, rather than having to spend it on legal fees. So that's a case. You know, in the end, it came out favorably for my client. But, you know, in the end, it still bothered me because, you know, I think more money was spent there that didn't necessarily have to be to that extent.
Right.
So that's why divorce mediation is good. But both parties also need to be on the same page and be willing to do that. And I think as time goes on and people understand that process more, I think more people will be doing that.
Right. Well, you know, I think the other side of the scenario is you get two individuals who at one time were in love with one another, and now they're on this total other side of the spectrum. Now they can't stand each other. And I really believe that the emotions, the egos, all the wrong emotions come to the forefront. And now it's like, I refuse. If I have to spend the last dime, I'd rather spend it all and give it away in court than let you walk away with any of it. And when you really think about it, I mean, it's kind of it's not a productive way to think, as you were just sharing, that the money could be used to do much more constructive things. But when you have then the attorneys on both sides and all these issues in between, all of a sudden people, they become they're not trying to be adversarial about the issue. It's like, it's dog eat dog. It's enemies. We're like, it's to the bitter end. It's to death do us part. Unfortunately, on the other side of the equation, whatever funds we have in our state, I'd rather see it squandered. I'd rather see it just nothing there, and you know, which is sad. I mean,
it absolutely is. I see that a lot. A party or parties want to spend, you know, pay the attorneys rather than, be smart with their money. I mean, they're vindictive for whatever reason, adultery or yes, whatever, and they're caught up in the emotion of the situation, and they will put their money towards the legal fees, and that, you know, they're not seeing the forest for the trees, because later on, a year or so out, they potentially and oftentimes will settle the case the way they could have done it in the very beginning and not spend all that money in legal fees.
Right.
And, you know, and it's hurting them financially, but if they have kids, that's where it's really hurting.
It's really hurting them. When I think of, too, we use a term in the behavior world, emotionally hijacked. You know, and it's called the little brain has taken over the thinking, logical brain. And it happens to people. You get hijacked, and all of a sudden, you know, you're not thinking rational anymore, because at this point, you're being driven by your emotions, and logic has been thrown out the door. You know, and then they say this, it takes literally, you know, when somebody's been emotionally hijacked in that moment, it takes literally 90 minutes from that point to even de-escalate. And that's if there's, you know, if there's nothing still in the atmosphere keeping it heated. And some, you know, I've seen scenarios where sometimes there's attorneys kind of continue to jabbing, you know, kind of keep that emotionally person hijacked through the whole process. And because at that point, they're not thinking rational. And it does, says, you know, it's open the purse book. Yeah, this is what we should do in court. We should do this scenario. And, you know, then you have the other party going, yeah, you're right, let's do it. They're not even thinking. And you're right. Years down the road, you look back and go, man, we spent all that money for what? And now later they may become friends, and they're looking at each other going, wow, that was, what were we thinking? Well, the point was, they weren't thinking.
Right.
Because they were hijacked, emotionally hijacked. So that's, yeah. And then I think on the other side of the scenario, looking at families that are probably wealthy, you know, the other side of the spectrum, who does have the money? You know, I think about, wow, all that money you just spent dumping it in court and attorneys, think how much you could have done, how much good you could have done. And if you could have amicably resolved it, money that could have went back into the community, you know, helping. Yeah, I'm this big help person, so I maybe think a little different. But the average person does not think that way. So.
Right, right. Well, you know, that brings to mind, you know, another kind of case I've had where it wasn't like the Gardner scenario, but, you know, I represented a husband in that had an upper middle class lifestyle. They certainly had money, certainly more than this other case that I mentioned.
Uh-huh.
The other problem was the other spouse chose to drag my client essentially through the mud in terms of custody and division of assets and businesses and so on. What happened in the end on that is, you know, the marital house ended up being upside down and ended up having to go into foreclosure, which wouldn't have happened if they wouldn't have been able to work things out together. I mean, it got so bad that, at some point when the house went into foreclosure, we're pretty sure that the other party poured concrete into all the drains of the house just to be vindictive. That's how bad these things can get sometimes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, crazy. In the end, the other, a very good outcome in terms of the other party, who is the wife, got stuck with all of her remaining legal fees, which was over $100,000 that she was expecting was going to be awarded for my client to have to pay her, and as well as forensic accounting fees of over $80,000 that she ended up having to be stuck with. So, you know, in that, moreover, is that that spouse also continually and actively tries, even now, and this case was resolved 4 or 5 years ago, tries to make the party's children turn against my client even now and make things difficult for him. And it's still, vindictive. So, again, that's a case, certainly there was money there, but they depleted a lot of assets. They lost the marital house when that wouldn't have had to have happened if both parties would have been able to see the forest for the trees and determine what's in the best interest of the kids, not to, and instead, don't be vindictive against, the other party, because in the end, that affected, them financially. Even though they were in a better financial position to begin with, it put, them in a bad financial situation. And that's what the bottom line is why, those kind of cases is disconcerting when you see that things could be potentially resolved, out of court.
Yeah, it's just interesting. Wow, I can't believe that we're already half the show is passed. What we're going to do is take a commercial break here, but we're going to do, Jerry, once we get back, what I like to do is now go to the brighter side of divorce. And I'd like to get more into this whole divorce mediation, what it is, that the process. I mean, you came up with this, and I think it would be good for our listeners to know this other scenario. So if they're listening, they can, may have a friend or somebody who's at that crossroad and can look at the other option and as a better option than this traditional divorce. So we're here with, I guess, Jerry Maggio, and as an attorney who believes that one shoe doesn't fit all for divorce, and mediation should be or could be the better route. Once again, this is Answers for the Family, and I'm Marvin Smith, your host.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
Well, we're back once again on Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Marvin Smith, and the subject matter is called divorce. And like we say, divorce is not always, it's not a pretty subject, but you know what? It's something that has to be addressed. It has to be addressed. But now our guest, we're going to talk about matter. We're going to now shift gears. And our guest, Jerry, is the, I would say, he founded California Mediators, for dealing with divorce. And Jerry, what I would like to do is I'm thinking about as I'm going down my thought process. Let's start here. Why are you so passionate about divorce mediation, first of all? And then I'd like to get into what is mediation. But I mean, what makes you so passionate? Because I believe passion is what drives us to do things maybe different than what we're used to.
You know, I appreciate the opportunity to answer that because it's something I strongly believe in. I've been practicing divorce and family law for enough years to see how the traditional battling in court, in many cases, not really the best way to resolve these cases. And I, before the commercial break, I kind of hit on a couple, just a small sample of what I'm talking about in that regard. You know, and although not every case can necessarily be mediated, many cases can be. You know, and so I think my point why I'm so passionate about it is because I really think that divorce mediation can save families. You know, what I mean by that is that although not every marriage can be saved, families can be saved from the financial ruin often associated with divorce. And I kind of want to share with your listeners kind of what I mean by that, because okay. You know, I have, you know, three minor children of my own. My kids are 15, 13, and 11. I know firsthand what it's like to be a parent in this day and age. Things are much different than they were when I was growing up. There's so much more competition, you know, for kids to deal with school and so on. So much harder to get into college and pay for it. And so, the way I look at it is this, is, and why I believe in the mediation is, you know, any parent with a child today knows that raising kids is very costly and it's challenging. Every parent is striving to get their kids into the best elementary, middle school, or high school program that they can. You know, not to mention the same with getting their kids in expensive club sports, depending on where they live, or a host of other activities. All with the intent of getting their kids into college in the best colleges they can, because that's what, you know, it's so much more competitive just to get into college than it used to be.
Yeah, it is. It
requires, you know, the high grades and other accomplishments just to be considered, much less getting in. So, you know, nowadays you oftentimes have many parents feeling overwhelmed that the competition out there is fierce compared to when they were growing up, and that they're not doing enough compared to everyone else. You know, on top of that, then you've got many parents dealing with issues of ADHD, speech delay. You know, autism is a huge prevalent issue going on and problem going on now. You know, as well as kids have social or behavioral development issues and so on, anxiety. That all makes the struggles of, you know, bringing up kids that much more challenging because, you know, when I was younger, I don't remember hearing, you know, much of any of that in terms of, I don't think anybody knew, you know, ADHD and all these things that you have to deal with.
Right.
So, you know, then now throw divorce into that mix that, you know, you're already dealing with these challenges of all the things you're dealing with getting your kids into school and the long road to do that, to get them into college, and all the other, you know, issues they may have, and then you're adding divorce into the mix. And so the focus at that point becomes, how are you going to divide the party's assets and income to now support two households instead of one?
Right.
And, you know, so you know, divorce can be very hard on the kids emotionally and psychologically. And even if the parents do a good job of shielding their kids from it, kids still have to adjust to a new life and a new lifestyle, which can be a long, bumpy road. And, you know, I've seen it. It can negatively affect school performance and other aspects of their lives in noticeable ways, in terms of they might be acting up in school or what have you, but also subtle ways. So I guess the bottom line of what I'm trying to say is, see, now you have your kids falling behind other kids who are not going through divorce. So you're already stressed out about, you know, what you're dealing with your kids just to have them keep up with everyone else. You throw divorce into that, it's making that much harder for your own kids to stay up and compete with everyone else.
Right. And what's interesting with that, too, you know, from the work that we do at Westshore Adolescent Service, we see a gamut of this. And it's interesting because, and then as a parent myself, and a grandparent, you know, I see, you know, when you throw divorce into the mix, it's tough. And you could have, like you say, you have three kids, all from the same family, same upbringing, and throw a wrench in internally, something like divorce, and all of a sudden you could have one kid go totally south, another kid could look like they're really unscathed, and another one in the middle somewhere, and they're from the same household. But this goes to show, too, how fickle I think human behavior is, because you never know. And to add that extra component added is definitely not good. It's definitely not, you know, in a supportive way, the loving process of trying to heal and mend and continue to go forward with the family. I mean, and on the other hand, you know, I hear the situation, well, should we be in it just for the kids? You know, and maybe you could, I mean, you probably hear that. I mean, I don't, you know, you want people to be happy, but I think, you know, I guess this takes us back to mediation, you know. And when I think about parenting, you have two people who were in love. Where did you fall out of love? You know, I don't, so that becomes a whole nother layer as I start to think about it. You know, so from that point, I think what I like to do is then, you know, when is divorce mediation the right scenario? I mean, you know, as you look at cases, I mean, I know you would have to determine, you know, what's right. You know, is mediation the right for this, or is it? Do we need to go to the traditional court route? I mean, you know, right. Maybe you could share something there, Jerry.
Well, you know, I think the vast majority of cases are suitable for divorce mediation. You know, and it can even be components of divorce. It could just be limited to child custody issues and so on. So it doesn't have to be you're mediating everything. You know, most cases I think are, well, the fundamental issue with divorce mediation is both parties have to be on the same page. Both parties have to realize what are we looking to do. They should have kind of a mission of their divorce. They should really, if they're going to be going through a divorce, there's no way to avoid that. They should really kind of write out, like, what's their mission statement for the divorce? How do they want to handle their own divorce? Do they want to have it battled out in court, or do they want to try to work with the other spouse and come up with, you know, a resolution? So if you kind of look at it that way, and I oftentimes will have, you know, clients do that, I think they kind of look at it and they realize that, you know, there's definitely a more mature way to handle a situation in terms of how to resolve their divorce cases. You know, not every case, though, is necessarily something you can mediate, because you're going to sometimes have issues of spousal abuse or child abuse.
So right.
Definitely not appropriate for mediation.
That's true.
You can have scenarios where, you know, your spouse is just not a nice person. They're seeking to cause you emotional pain and suffering in the divorce, and you could be in fear of them. And on the flip side, you can have a spouse that's just not emotionally able to basically make good or informed decisions about their own case. So that kind of scenario, I mean, you've got to be able to trust your spouse to be honest and fair. You have to be honest and fair with your spouse in order for any kind of mediation to be successful. You know, but you're also going to have scenarios where, you know, somebody's abusing alcohol or drugs and things like that. So those are the kind of things that I think would make doing a mediation difficult, if not impossible. Not to mention, I see a lot of prevalence on this. You can have people that have, you know, what we call narcissistic personality disorder.
Yes.
They're narcissists, or they're manipulative, or they have borderline personality disorder. These kind of things, which are a lot more prevalent, and I see that a lot in divorce cases, those are not going to generally be good scenarios to do a mediation, because you're not going to both be on the same page. That's a fundamental thing that will make the difference in a successful mediation, is you both have to be willing to sit down, to come at the table, act like mature adults, and keep the best interests of your children as a focus point. That's your number one goal, and then build everything else around that. That's where, you know, that's when a mediation is going to be highly successful.
Okay. You know what? I just can't believe time has just flown by. I have a million more questions, but I guess maybe I need to come in for a session. Not for myself, but I like to, you know, so I can pass on the information. We have some, usually on the show we have callers and we have some write-in emails that come in of listeners that have questions. We're down to like 4 minutes, and we need to accomplish two things. I'm going to read one of the questions I have here, and maybe you can, in a 30-second, you know, soundbite, you can answer it. And then the last part, I want to take a minute and give you the opportunity, so those who would like to reach out to you, you could give your caller information and, you know, things of that nature. So, you know, those who are listening may want to need some consultation. How's that sound?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, the one question is that my sister has been so frustrated the last 2 months. She and her husband had agreed to a very amicable divorce until he hired a new attorney. Now he is trying to hide assets and reduce both the alimony and the child support. He is also speaking badly about her to her children, saying she is being greedy. As he makes double her income, he can afford the legal fees. He seems to feel he has the upper hand. Do you suggest, or you have any suggestions to pass on to her?
You know, that's tough, because it sounds like they were on the same page to do the mediation, and then he's more or less
got a new attorney
mind on that. And when one party believes that they have a financial they're in a better position financially to the potential to litigate it, you're going to have a hard time with somebody like that to bring them back to the table initially and to mediate it. So that's a tough scenario, because, again, as I was saying earlier, that is the number one tenet that you need to have in a mediation. Both parties have to see the big picture of what they're trying to accomplish in the divorce case. And at this point, he's not seeing that. He's basically looking to say, well, I'm just going to litigate this in court and take my chances in court, and so on. So, you know, probably she's going to need to get her own legal counsel in that regard. And maybe, you know, mediation is still a potential option, because parties can have their own attorneys and still, you know, mediate their case or give it another shot in that regard. But I don't know if that's necessarily going to happen as quickly as she would want it to be, because it sounds to me like he's made the decision, I'm going to forego mediation at this point and to take my chances in court. And that unfortunately happens.
Wow. Well, you know, thank you for that answer. Well, matter of fact, thank you for being on the show with us today. I think it's very informative. Actually, there's more that we can get into, but I think better than that, those that are listening, if they would like to, you know, in consultation or want to go to the website or just want to find out more, Jerry, maybe you could you have some information that you could pass on to our listeners.
Absolutely. I have two websites, one for strictly for information and so on regarding divorce mediation. Is called cadivorcemediators.com. You know, stands for California Divorce Mediators. The other one's my main website also for my law firm, which is Maggio, M-A-G-G-I-O, lawfirm.com. Both are websites worth checking out. You can certainly contact me that way, but it offers a lot of topics and information. I have a lot of information on mediation as well as divorce in there. So if you're, you know, starting or looking at the process, not a bad idea to check out the articles and so on that I have in there, because I have a lot of clients that end up retaining that find what I've put in there pretty informative, and that was the whole intent.
Well, Jerry, thank you for the information. Once again, our guest, Jerry Maggio, and the phone number to his law firm is area code 949-553-0304. So if you want to get there quickly and by a phone call, once again, that number is 949-553-0304. He gave the information from the website. Jerry, we appreciate the time, and very informative, great subject matter. Once again, this is Marvin Smith, Answers for the Family. Everybody have a wonderful week.
Thank you, Marvin.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Marvin Smith. right here on LA Talk Radio.